I have zero idea how this slipped through the cracks for so, probably because it happened a little bit ago. But the amount of joy that was in my spirit, my soul, every fiber of my being, when the Big Ten did the right thing and released an extended cut of the beloved Silver Lining Big Ten commercial from sea to shining sea, gentlemen, the Big Ten now lives. We got USC, UCLA, don't forget the Pacific Northwest of Washington and Oregon, and then the rest of us Jamokes that live in the Midwest and on the East Coast. Fellas, it even made Ethan, the hardest of all the hearts on Big Banter, shed a small single tear that the most pure commercial was back.
I like the fact that they stayed true to like the source material and just kind of they just added, but they did it in a really cool way. They redid the commercial, but they kept the heart and soul of it, which I had to give it props. I thought it was it's beloved by Big Ten fans across the country. That commercial is it's like the one thing that everybody's like every time it comes on, like bobbing their heads and everything.
I want to touch the silver lining.
I
You
just,
actually know the words? I've never known the words to
I've
that
never known
song.
the words either. That's why it was
I'm
just
adding
funny.
the song. I'm adding the song to my Spotify right now. Shout out Spotify.
Would we be allowed to use that song for our podcast intro? Like our opening song?
We would get sued somehow.
That would suck, but that would be awesome if we could do that.
Let's just try it, see what happens.
Let's try it, see what happens. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if you love Big Ten football, then you came to the right place. Welcome to Big Banter, everybody. We are fresh off of week zero, where no Big Ten teams played, but you just got a little taste of college football season, and we are finally in week one prep. It is here. We are pumped. Make sure you're following on Twitter at B1G Banter Pod and on Instagram, B1G Banter. Hey, Corey, say something nice to the people.
From all across the silver lining, Big Ten fans, we love you guys, and we're so happy that we can enjoy another year of college football antics with all of you in an expanded Manifest Destiny version of the Big Ten Conference. Sit down, grab a nice cold beverage, buckle up, because we're ripping and roaring for an expanded Big Ten and an expanded college football playoff. Thank you so much for listening.
Corey's right. It will be a season like we have never seen before. Conference realignment, the dust has settled temporarily. The college football playoff format has settled temporarily. We are going to watch playoff postseason games at home on college campuses. We will have conference champs earning byes. Will newcomers win conferences their first year in it? Corey, your hand is raised. What do you have for the
No, I can
thoughts?
wait. I can wait for a little bit. You can keep going, but I just want
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
no, because this intro was good, and I've totally derailed it.
You have derailed it. And you know what? If you have something to say, just say it for the whole class.
Well, actually, this makes sense because this interrupted the college football season last year, halfway through something that was going on. Yes, we are aware that the Connor Stallions documentary has been dropped. No, we have not seen it. Yes, we are all three Michigan fans. We will see it, and we will give you our opinions on that at a later time. But we're not going to ignore the elephant in the room. We're not going to be those guys.
Correct. We will talk about the doc, but you got to give us a week. You will hear from us next week. I know you all have waited with bated breath on what our opinions are of the doc, but don't worry. We're gonna let it marinate on our brains, and then you will hear from us next week. So we didn't forget about it. We also didn't forget that Michigan won the national championship last year. Let's just all throw that out there. Kind reminder to everybody, the national champs
This is true.
and Connor Stallions is a Marine. Let's just all remember those two facts.
We respect the troops. And also, we didn't have a chance to watch the documentary today. because we were all doing our jobs, unlike the Ohio State fans that woke up at 3 a.m. to watch it.
Whoa! Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love you, and I love college football season. Boys, we've got a loaded, loaded show. So all three of us are going to reveal our top-to-bottom college football playoff brackets. We're going to give you our 12. We're going to walk you through the bracket and give you our champ. We're going to give you our Big Ten championship game. And then, of course, it's week one. We are going to give you our week one picks. Just going to throw this out there. Ethan and I are already 1-0, and Corey is 0-1 because last week we picked the Florida State-Georgia Tech game, and Corey, silly, silly boy, he said, I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to pick Florida State. I would recommend some more thought next time.
Listen, heavy is the head that wears the crown, and I had to give you guys a little gimme from the beatdown that you took in the picks last year. So say what you want.
It's a long season. It's a long season. But it feels good to be undefeated. Okay. So without further ado, let's get into the bracket reveals. Ethan hasn't really talked yet on the episode. Not much. I'm going to let Ethan go first. Well, how do you want to do this? Do you want one person to reveal beginning to end? I think we should probably do that because it'll get confusing if we take turns.
Yeah, I was going to say if people will start to get confused for sure. All right.
Okay. So let's do beginning to end bracket, just not too fast, but fast. And then we'll kind of break it down after and have a conversation about who's got unique teams, all that stuff.
Okay. So we're going to kick it off. I'm going to start from the outside in. Okay. Because the 1-4 seeds, they don't play the first week. They get a bye week. So big advantage to being a conference champion. You get a bye week. So let's go ahead and start with the 5-12 game. I have Missouri as the 5 seed. I have Boise State as the 12 seed, representing the group of 5. I have Missouri winning that game. The 8-9 matchup, I have Michigan hosting Notre Dame in the 8-9 matchup. What a great game that would be, a rivalry game hosted at the Big House. I think that would be absolutely electric. I have Michigan winning that game. Now, other side of the bracket, we will go to the 7-10 game. I have Oregon, the 7 seed, playing Texas, the 10 seed. I have Texas winning that game. Moving on, defeating Oregon. The 6-11, I have Ole Miss, the 6 seed, playing and beating Penn State, the 11 seed, Penn State. I have, now we've shrunk down now. So my number one team, Georgia, number one ranked team in the country, plays Michigan, the 8 seed, in this would be the quarterfinals. I have Georgia beating Michigan and advancing. I have number 4 Clemson playing number 5 Missouri. I have Missouri winning that game. I have number 10 Texas playing number 2 Ohio State. I have Ohio State winning that game. I have number 3 Arizona playing number 6 Ole Miss. I have Ole Miss winning that game. So now we are on to the semifinals. I have OSU playing Ole Miss, and I have OSU winning that game to go to the national championship. I have Georgia playing Missouri. I have Georgia winning that game to go to the national championship. And I have Georgia defeating Ohio State in the national championship game.
And who is your who's your Big Ten championship game? Who does Ohio State beat?
Ohio State beats Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. I battled myself on that. I went back and forth. Yes, I know they play each other during the regular season. I was really leaning. I was starting to lean more towards Penn State, seeing their schedule, that they will actually make a run. I wanted to put them in, but I ended up going pretty chalk with OSU Oregon. And I have, obviously, I have OSU winning that game and being the 2 seed overall in the playoff. So I do have the 1 and the 2 meeting each other. But just real quick to go over some of the upsets that I have. As far as seeding goes, I have Texas beating number 10, Texas beating number 7, Oregon, in the first round. I have Missouri, number 5, Missouri beating number 4, Clemson, in the second round. And then I have number 6, Ole Miss, beating number 3, Arizona. But I think that wouldn't be an upset. I do think Ole Miss would be favored in that game, which, by the way, the 6-11, whoever plays that third ranked team, that's a pretty easy path for Ole Miss. Ole Miss would be loving themselves getting that draw. They get to play Penn State at home in the first game. Then they know they get to play Arizona in the second week. I'm like, man, Ole Miss would be loving themselves. So, anywho, that's it.
All right.
That's my bracket. That's what I got. I tried to go through it as quick as I could, give you a little bit of context.
Oh, yeah, you're good. We'll get into the nitty-gritty here pretty soon. But
okay.
All right, Corey, you're up. Let's hear it.
All right, ladies and gents, this was my first draft, but I'll go quick. I'm sticking with last episode, the 12-5 matchup. I think Liberty gets your group of 5 bid, and they're going to play Ohio State at the 5. The 9-8 matchup is going to be Missouri and Penn State. Missouri 9, Penn State 8, so they get a home game. And I, beyond all judgment, have Penn State winning that game. We'll take it over to the 10-7. I have Notre Dame as the 7 seed, and I'm sticking a second Big 12 team in here, and I'm going to go with Utah. They are going to make it to the Big 12 championship, and they are going to lose the Big 12 championship. And then I have Utah going to South Bend and beating the Irish. I think they're just gritty. Cameron Rising being, a 50th year senior is really going to help them. Then this is what it gets a little bit interesting. The 6, I have Bama. You get your brand in there, and at the 11, as the last team in, I'm going to have Michigan, and you're going to get a rematch of the Rose Bowl game from the previous year, and we're going to see how that's going to go. And I just think Michigan not the wheels will fall off. I think it'll just be too tough for Sharon Moore to go into Tuscaloosa and beat Bama at home. So I have Bama winning that game. Take it to the other side for the 5-4. Ohio State plays Kansas with the 4 seed, and I have Ohio State winning that game. Just too much for Kansas. Their Cinderella run goes out in their first playoff game. Penn State, Georgia. I have Georgia, who is the 1 seed. They will beat Penn State. Not going to think too much about that. I have Oregon as the 2 seed playing Utah, and I think Oregon will have no problems beating Utah, former Pac-12 opponent. And then just because I didn't really know what else to do with them, I have Clemson winning the ACC. I don't really know who's going to win the ACC, but I feel like Dabo's going to pull something out of his rear end, and he's going to play Bama, and he is going to lose to Bama. So Final 4 is OSU against Georgia, and Oregon against Bama. I have Georgia beating Ohio State, and then I have Oregon beating Alabama for the national championship game, and not a trendy pick at all whatsoever. Just feels right. Georgia winning 3 out of the 4 last national championship games.
I'm not gonna lie, you guys have some interesting stuff on your brackets. This is just making me more excited for the season. But okay, let me get into mine.
Hey, I'm sorry, we're not Chalky McChalkerson. Okay.
Oh, all right. Don't worry. This won't be.
This is going to be Alex reading off the top 12 preseason teams minus one to add in a group of five. How riveting!
Hey, you just wait, my friend. You just wait. All right.
I'm just razzing you up.
Get ready. Get ready. All right. The 5-12 game. I have Oregon coming in as the 5 seed, and I have them playing Boise in the 5-12 matchup, and I have Oregon winning. Go to the top left of the bracket. I have Michigan coming in as the 8 seed and playing the 9 seed, NC State. And I have...
Oh.
That's right, baby. That's right. Grayson McCall leading the Wolfpack. I have Michigan beating NC State in the 8-9 game. In the 7-10 game, I have an SEC matchup between Ole Miss, the 7 seed, and Alabama, the 10 seed. And I have Bama upsetting Ole Miss to move on. In the 6-11 game, I have Texas as the 6, and I have Kansas State as the 11 seed. And I actually have Kansas State upsetting Texas here on the road to move on to the next round. Horns down, baby. Horns down. All right. Going back to the other side, I have Oregon playing the 4 seed Oklahoma State, Big 12 champs. And I have Oregon beating Oklahoma State to move to the Final Four. Top of the bracket, I have Michigan and Georgia in a rematch of the CFP semifinal from a couple years ago. I have Georgia winning again and moving to the Final Four. Other side of the bracket, I have Bama playing Ohio State, who is my Big Ten champ. I have Ohio State moving to the Final Four. And then Kansas State, I have them playing the 3 seed Miami ACC champ. And I have Miami beating Kansas State. So I do have my top 4 seeds getting to the Final Four. The UGA Oregon game, I have Georgia winning. Miami Ohio State, I have Ohio State winning. So I do have a chalk natty. It's Georgia versus Ohio State. But I am going to pick Ohio State to win the whole thing. Doesn't make me feel good. It makes my body ache and it makes my skin crawl. But if I'm being 1,000% honest, this Ohio State team reminds me a lot of last year's Michigan team. I went back and forth because as of like 2 days ago, I didn't have Ohio State winning the Big Ten. But I think they might just do it this year. I don't think Oregon's quite ready. So I've got Ohio State beating Georgia in the Natty. Those are our brackets. Now, I have your brackets written down. I got all 3 of ours written down in front of me. But one of you guys, did anything stick out like wildly insane from the other ones?
I mean, you having NC State and Corey having Kansas. And I mean, NC State is more swallowable than Kansas. I don't know. Kansas is a tough pill to swallow for me. But then again, I have Arizona. I've got Arizona winning the Big 12. So, and that took a leap for me because they've got a tough schedule. They do.
If you're going to pick a wild card team to make the CFP, it's got to be from the ACC or the Big 12. Because the SEC and the Big 10, there's pretty much a top 4 to 5 that you're going to choose from, and no one outside of that is going to get in. But like we just watched with the ACC, Florida State just lost their
The ACC game. Is going to do what the ACC always does and cannibalize itself. That's why I only put one team in from the ACC. They're going to eat each other alive.
I just don't think the ACC is very good. It's plain and simple.
I don't.
So if they're
either.
Not very good, then I don't think there's any way that they get 2 in.
I don't think they're very good either, but the reason I have NC State in here is because of their schedule. So let me, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but NC State gets Tennessee at home. That's a huge opportunity. But even if they lose, it's not the end of the world. It's not a conference game. They go on the road to Clemson. But here's the rest of their schedule after Clemson, because before that, it's just soft non-conference opponents besides Tennessee. They play Northern Illinois, Wake Forest, Syracuse, Cal, Stanford, Duke, Georgia Tech, and North Carolina. I don't know if any of those is going to be a ranked matchup. So they have two currently ranked opponents on their schedule. One of them is at home, and the other one is Clemson, who Clemson is a bit of a wild card. Like, people expect their defense to be great, but Cade Klubnik has to take a huge step forward in order for them to be truly elite. So NC State's schedule is what drew me to them, as they might have one of the easier runs to the ACC championship game. And if Miami can fulfill on some lofty goals, then them losing to Miami and being potentially a 2 or 3 loss team at that point, if they have a win against a Tennessee or a Clemson, one of the two, then they'll have a pretty solid shot to make it by losing their conference championship game.
And to that point, I have 4 teams in from the Big Ten and SEC in mind. I don't know if you guys caught that, but I have 8 teams from the SEC and the Big Ten making. And the reason why is because I think Clemson gets in as maybe even, I could very easily see them being a 3-loss ACC conference champion. And then with Arizona, I have them in, but I think that they will be a 2-loss conference champion. So I don't see a ton of opportunity for the teams finishing behind those two to get in. And even if it is, you know, different teams, I think the Big 12 and the ACC are very similar in the aspect that the talent pool is spread out pretty wide. And it's going to be like an any given Saturday type situation in those conferences yet again, where they cannibalize themselves. And it keeps the cream, you know, from rising, and it makes it very hard to differentiate. So you take the champion of both of those conferences, and I'm only putting one in from both of those conferences because of that cannibalization. I don't know if that's a word. But because of that I think is going to go on in both of those conferences.
Yeah, that's great and all.
Corey, let me give a quick breakdown, because Ethan has 4 Big Ten teams and 4 SEC teams. I have 4 Big Ten teams and 3 SEC teams in my bracket, and you have 4 SEC teams and 3 Big Ten teams in yours.
No, I don't. I have Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Oregon. I have 4, and I only have 3 SEC schools in Missouri, Georgia, and Alabama.
Oh, never mind. I mixed up our numbers. I have 3 Big Ten teams and 4 SEC teams, and you're the opposite. So we all have different numbers from each of those conferences, different ratios, I guess.
Correct. Okay, that's all fun and dandy. You guys are coming at this from a very, you know, calculated and academic standpoint. Let me tell you something. The Big 12 is, like it is every year, is going to be the most insane, wild, and unpredictable conference there is. Everybody's given their predictions for the Big 12 championship game, all these pundits and whatever. We should know that that's exactly not how it's going to go down. It's going to go down the exact opposite way. We're going to get something crazy like Colorado and BYU or something stupid like that. So if we're going to predict the Big 12, we might as well just be as crazy as possible. And I'm picking Kansas with a little bit of logic, with a little bit of this is their time. If they don't do it now, then why not? And then just because I think it'd be really funny for the top 4 seeds, it would be like that dragon meme where they're all like really like vividly drawn and then the one like looks stupid. That's what Kansas is going to be. But let me tell you, because Kansas's schedule, listen to this, okay? You get Lindenwood at home. You go to Illinois. You get UNLV. You go to West Virginia. You play TCU at home. You go to Arizona State. You play Houston. You have to go to Kansas State. That's your toughest game of the year. Iowa State at home, at BYU, Colorado at home. That game's going to be like 82 to 81. And then you close out the season at Baylor, which doesn't have an identity right now. If you're going to tell me that Kansas doesn't have one of the easier paths to the Big 12 championship, I think you're crazy.
I think the Big 12 is definitely going to be the most fun watch, because even looking at our brackets and looking at the brackets of analysts that I follow, everyone's got someone different for the Big 12. Like when you look at the ACC, most people are picking either Miami, Clemson, or Florida State, and most of them are picking Clemson and Florida State, at least they were before week zero. But the three of us, like Ethan, you have Arizona, and Corey, you have Kansas, and I have Oklahoma State. So, okay, you just made your case for Kansas. I want us to do a little round robin here of making our case for our teams. My case for Oklahoma State is pretty simple. Comparing them to the two of your teams, I picked a team with consistency at head coach and coaching staff. I don't believe they lost either of their coordinators. I'm pretty sure that did not happen. Correct me if I'm wrong. And elite roster stabilization. When I looked, they were the only Big 12 team that had 70% of their production returning on both sides of the ball. And then I picked best player, Ollie Gordon, at running back for them. He has a legitimate shot to be in the Heisman Trophy conversation. And I think that elite talent is going to be what gets a team in the Big 12 over the top. So that's why I picked them. Consistency of roster, consistency of coaching, and having an elite player on that team to put you over the edge on some of those one possession games that you're going to get in the Big 12. That's my case for Oklahoma State. Ethan, you want to make your case for Arizona?
So when I looked at their schedule, they definitely do have some tough matchups on there, no doubt about it. But the way Arizona ended out last season stuck with me. So I did a little bit of deep dive into it, because I kind of was under the impression that I would only pick one team from the ACC and from the Big 12. So when I looked at Arizona, they finished last season, I believe it was the last six games. I don't have that pulled up right now. The last six games, they were top 25 in total defense and total offense to finish out the season. That team, and they, I know, you know, they don't have 70% of their starters returning or whatever. They have a good chunk of that starting team. They remind me a lot of Missouri in the SEC, a team that no one's really talking about that I think has a chance to do something really special. And I was so tempted to pick Arizona to beat Ole Miss in my bracket. I just, something about that team really makes me think that they could go on a little bit of a run. I ended up not going in that direction. They get in, but you know, they're kind of one and done after the bye week. But looking at them and the way that they're constructed, the way that they were coached, especially in the back half of last season, that's something that I think is going to carry over. And I think they are primed to do something special this season.
Ethan, they lost their head coach. Jed Fish isn't there.
He went to
Washington.
Washington, right? Yeah.
Yeah. They lost 70% of their starters and they lose their head coach. I think that's a tough.
Wait, 70% of their starters.
That's what you just said, didn't you?
No.
No, just that they didn't maintain 70%. Not that they lost.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad. Yeah. My bad.
No, but
they have an elite. I forget their wide receiver's name, but their wide receiver is going to be one of the best in the country. And their quarterback stayed.
Their quarterback didn't leave. Yeah, exactly. He didn't go with him to Washington. So the core of that roster is still there. So I think that they've got the necessary pieces in place to get something special done.
Can we do a make a case against, like, a team that you don't have in there?
Yes, let's do that because, okay, do you have someone in mind already?
Yes, I do, because I did not have Texas in here.
Neither do I. And
I have Michigan in there. I think
I lied. I do have Texas in here. I'm sorry.
That one was hard. I was almost ready to swap them out, and I was almost ready to put Ole Miss in there too, but I didn't want like 17 SEC schools in there. I really do think that Michigan is going to find a way to beat Texas. If you had to tell me which three games that Michigan has on their schedule that are the biggest, the Texas game, the Oregon game, the Ohio State game, and they can only win one of those games, I think their best shot is against Texas. I don't know why. I just feel like the national championship hangover or celebration is going to like bleed into that. And maybe there won't be Texas not having film on Orgy, if that's who the starter is going to be, I think will be difficult for
them. To further that point real quick for you, Corey, currently Michigan is only a 2.5-point underdog to Texas. They are they're an 8.5-point, or I'm sorry, nope, I looked at that wrong. They're a 6.5-point underdog at home against Oregon. And they are an 11.5-point underdog to OSU to end the season.
I would think that has something to do with how early in the season it is as well, right? Don't you think that would play into it?
And the fact that Texas lost a ton of wide receiver production. They lost their big defensive tackle up in the middle of their defense. And we still have to see if they repaired what was one of the worst secondaries in the country from last year. Corey, I agree with you. I am very shaky about my Texas pick, but that's why I had them getting upset in the first round by Kansas State, because you look at Texas's schedule. So you mentioned they play Michigan early in the season. They also play Oklahoma, obviously, in the Red River Shootout. Then they play Georgia. Those are three, like a rivalry game, anything can happen, right? And then you play Georgia and Michigan, who should throughout the season Michigan should be a top 10 to 12 team, and Georgia's going to be one or two all year. And then they end the season going on the road to Kyle Field to play Texas A&M, who is probably going to be better than most people expect. Like, they're already favored against Notre Dame in week one. They've got a sneaky Kentucky team that they have to play. Like, Texas's schedule, people are just, I don't know how to say it, but they're glazing Texas hard after last year. Like, Texas is back, but Texas and Steve Sarkisian have not proven that they can just reload. Not yet. Maybe they do that this year and they prove that they're that kind of program, but they haven't done it yet. And so my gut is telling me to not trust them.
I do think that there's a big part of it that people are just like, oh, Quinn Ewers is back. That means Texas is back. Like, and I mean that not in the Texas is back. I mean that in as in like the roster. The roster is not back. I mean, they lost a lot of starters. And like Corey said, the defensive line is going to be, or that might have been you, Alex, I'm sorry. But that is going to be a huge question mark. And what do we know that Michigan is going to want to do? You know, run the football. So early in the season, if they suffer a loss at Michigan, the rest of that schedule starts to look awfully daunting for Texas. So that, you know, it is a team that I have in my bracket, Corey, but I could definitely see them being a team that falls out. And maybe in Alabama is a team that replaces them.
Good stuff, guys. We're so smart. I don't know why they don't put us on College Game Day.
Yeah, I don't know either. Okay, another team that I wanted to mention, because let's see, looking at Ethan's right. Ethan has Notre Dame in the 9 seed. Corey, you have Notre Dame in the 7 seed. I do not have Notre Dame in my bracket. And this is different than, let me pull up their schedule really quick, because if I'm remembering correctly, this is not necessarily an argument of how tough their schedule is. So they do go on the road to Texas A&M this week. The rest of their schedule, Northern Illinois, Purdue, Miami of Ohio, Louisville, Stanford, Georgia Tech, Navy, Florida State, who may not be the team that we expected them to be, Virginia, Army, and then they end with USC. The schedule says they should get in. But, you know, we've mentioned schedule a lot on the episode so far, especially easy ones, right? To get a team like a Missouri in there, you know, or an NC State. But a soft schedule could also turn against you, right? Like, if Notre Dame loses, let's say they lose to Texas A&M, And then they're, even if they win out after that.
No, if they lose to, no, because if they lose to Texas A&M and then lose to Georgia Tech, which I believe is a road game, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
If they lose those two games but beat Florida State, how can they be in with no conference championship game? If right, they go exactly. If they go 11-1, they're in. They're in.
I agree. I almost said no, but then I was like, yeah, that would be a really dumb thing to say. Yeah, if they go 11-1, they're in. But
yeah, because their schedule is tough. They have good teams on that schedule, especially after what we just saw Georgia Tech do.
But not compared to teams in the SEC and Big Ten. That's the problem with them is their schedule. It's not the worst schedule,
right?
But it's not. They don't play anyone currently ranked in the top. They play one team ranked in the top 10 right now, and it's Florida State. And that could change.
But say, okay, and here's the thing. Say they go 10-2 with losses at Georgia Tech and at Texas A&M. Your biggest win is at home against Florida State and at home against Louisville, or do they play them on their own?
It would probably be on the road against USC. It would probably be
yeah, they play USC.
Yeah. And who knows what USC is going to be by the end of the year. And see, the thing is I do think there are enough tough games on that schedule where even at 10-2, they're still going to be, because they're such a big brand, they're going to be very, very tough. That's why I put them in, because I think they do go 10-2, and I think they still get in with a 10-2 record.
The brand because, is definitely part of it, 100%. Yeah.
And but you're going to have wins. If you go 10-2, you are going to beat some combination of Florida State and USC or Georgia Tech and USC or, you know, something like that. Or they say they go 10-2, but they beat A&M this weekend, you know, and lose to two of other teams.
They really need, because their tough teams are not super tough, they really need Texas A&M, USC, and Florida State to keep winning. To make the potential loss look better and to make the potential win look better.
Yes, I agree. I think it would be really hard. Like, cause like your argument would be you would put in a team from a more difficult conference in over a Notre Dame who slips up on one or two of their team. If they're 11-1, Ethan already said they're in. And I don't see any scenario where, even given the difficulty of the schedule of the SEC or the Big Ten, where a two-loss non-conference champion would get in over a Notre Dame with one loss, if that makes sense. And I'm thinking about this now, and this is just looking ahead. Like, we're gonna get the feeling of March Madness snubs this year. Like with some of these teams, there's going to be a two-loss Big 12 team that we're going to be like, oh, they beat like five ranked teams, but they had two miserable losses or something like that, you know, because like the Big 12 always does that. Or like an ACC school who only has one loss, but they played Army, Navy, Air Force, and UConn and UMass, and that's the majority there. You get what I'm saying here? So I'm going to be really interested to see how everything is like weighed out. And maybe, and it seems like kind of a cop-out, that they're just going to shift to the brands and or the matchups. And then people are going to get upset, and then we're going to change the way how we're going to grade this thing. And then people are going to clamor for more of an expansion, and we're going to have 64 teams in the college football playoff.
Okay, I think the last team that is going to be interesting for us to talk about our differences, you both have Penn State getting in to the college football playoff, and I do not. I'll make my case really quickly, and I'll see how confident you guys feel in the Penn State pick. I know their schedule is not awesome. I believe, as I'm pulling it up right here, I believe they dodge Michigan, and I believe they dodge Ohio
State. They dodge Michigan. They play Ohio State at home. It's their hardest game of the season. They don't play Michigan. They don't play Oregon. They don't play USC, I believe.
They do play USC.
They do play USC. Those are their two hardest games, are against are at home against Ohio State and at USC.
Okay.
Those are like the two losable games on their schedule aside from this weekend is a lot bigger of a game. If I'm a Penn State fan, I am locked in this weekend because 100. That West Virginia game, that's going to be a rowdy environment. You better be ready to play. You better hope Drew Aller comes with his A game because road Drew Aller, and I might be giving away one of my picks here, road Drew Aller, not good Drew Aller. So it's an 8.5-point spread. Look what just happened to Florida State, another top 10 team. Well, a lot of people think Florida State and Penn State are very similar. So I'm just saying, just be careful this weekend.
This decision with Penn State for me came down to Penn State versus Michigan, because I thought the Big Ten was going to get it factored in a little bit, me having NC State in here, right? Because if NC State doesn't fulfill what I think they can with that easy schedule and the wildness of the ACC doesn't turn out like I thought it would, Penn State can easily slot in there as the fourth Big Ten team, 100%. But in terms of the Michigan-Penn State conversation for me, because a lot of people have Penn State in over Michigan. My thinking, I have more faith in Michigan as a program, development-wise, replacing what they've lost on offense, than I do have faith in James Franklin replacing someone like Olufoshanu, who is now gone and was their best offensive lineman, replacing someone like Chop Robinson, who was their best defensive lineman, who both just went first round in the NFL draft. They do have Abdul Carter still at linebacker. They're still stacked at running back. Drew Aller is talented, but like you said, haven't seen the ceiling. They also brought in offensive coordinator from Kansas, which is an upgrade, right? But then we talked about this. Tom Allen from Indiana just came in, left his head coaching job, or fired from his head coaching job, and is now the DC. I think that's a gigantic downgrade from Manny Diaz, going from Manny Diaz as your DC to Tom Allen. So all that to say, I don't believe in James Franklin. I don't believe that they're going to replace those elite playmakers and the elite players like Olu and Chop. They needed someone like Julian Fleming from Ohio State to really pop at wide receiver and make explosive plays for them. So I think, like, if I assume, which I do, that Penn State will go 11-1 and lose to Ohio State, I'm also assuming that Michigan is going to go 10-2. And let's say Michigan loses to Ohio State, and let's say they lose to Oregon, but let's say they beat Texas. Michigan will now have a better win on their schedule than Penn State, and they'll have very explainable losses to Oregon and Ohio State. So I think that Michigan will end up being the third Big Ten team, and Penn State's going to have to rely on either the Big 12 or the ACC only getting their conference champion, or maybe both.
The James Franklin dialogue is just going to be the theme of this year's big banter, like just discussions, because we're going to go back and forth because we've said like that James Franklin gets in the way of James Franklin. But like he still puts the team in a position to like be on the cusp, and then he just like it's like that infomercial of the guy holding all of the stuff, like and like everything dropping everywhere.
Yeah.
But I think it is more likely that Penn State finishes with one conference loss to Ohio State. I think that's their most likely outcome, even with their schedule. They play Wisconsin on the road, which is their toughest non-Ohio State game. And I think if that's the case, you have to put them in. And I think that fits with the branding as well, because can you imagine the first round of the playoffs and then you get a second whiteout game as your nightcap and you pull an SEC school to come up and play at Penn State?
Huge.
I think that's huge. And then maybe, just maybe, you get somebody to like, and this is why I have Missouri. You get somebody to slip up and be like, "Oh, we're gonna go north, and we're gonna play a Big Ten school. They don't have the same environment an Alabama or Georgia on a Saturday afternoon, and then you go to a whiteout.
Yeah.
I think your hope there is that you catch one of those teams sleeping. You can go on.
I was just gonna say I think there's a better chance that Penn State gets in than there is two teams getting in from the Big 12.
You could argue that for sure, 100%. I think, and I'll make this last point because I know we need to get to the picks, but like in my scenario, right? Penn State has the one big game in Ohio State, and then we believe that every other game on their schedule is like should be easily winnable for them. In my scenario where I have an NC State getting in as the second ACC team over a team like Penn State, if NC State were to win one of either a game versus Tennessee or a game versus Clemson, automatically NC State would have a better win than Penn State does on their schedule. Like Penn State really has to rely on the conference championship game loser from the ACC and the Big 12 to already have two or three losses, which is very, very possible. But if they don't, a team like an NC State has two opportunities to get a better win than anyone that Penn State will have on their schedule unless they beat Ohio State.
Yeah, and I think that the biggest thing for Penn State, this week one is a hurdle. It's a hurdle. I'm telling you, you're starting off the season on the road in West Virginia. That place is going to be rowdy, and you're going to get road Drew Aller first week of the season, and we're going to learn a lot about him week one. West Virginia is no juggernaut, but you don't just walk into a school that is going to be sold out. They're going to have, you know, 70,000 plus fans in there screaming their heads off. It's going to be a tough game. We're going to learn a lot about Penn State week one.
All right. I don't think I gave my Big Ten championship game. I have Ohio State beating Oregon. It was probably self-explanatory by my bracket. Corey, did you have Oregon beating Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And Ethan had Ohio State beating Oregon. Okay. So we've got same matchups, different winners, but okay. So that's the bracket. That's the Big Ten championship game prediction from the three of us. Let's get into week one picks. Okay. We've got a heck of a slate for the Big Ten this week. And they're just awesome games outside of the Big Ten that we'll pick a few of those as well. But looking at the Big Ten, we've got three games on Thursday, two on Friday, and then, of course, the Saturday slate. And then we also have a game on Sunday. That's going to be sick. And if you don't know which game it is yet, this is a teaser. So you got to stay till the end of the episode. Okay. Corey, you are going to give me the live lines. Let's start on Thursday.
Can I just say something real quick? I'm so sorry before we jump into this. Folks, please stick around because last year, giving you the lines for these non-conference games was absolute pain and misery. Because they're such bad games. They were so horrendous. There was zero fun to be had. This year is the polar opposite. So you might think like, oh, I can tune out because it's just the non-conference games. No, there are so many great games on the slate. Tune in every single week to hear these, especially in the non-conference, because we are going to be giving you the picks. Let me remind you, all three of us finished above 500. In the picks last year, and we pick against the spread. None of this, just pick a winner. No, come on. We don't do that stuff around here. Picking against the spread. Let's get this started. Technically, we already have one game under the row, under our belts, but clean slate with Big Ten starting up this week.
All right, gentlemen, I'm taking the lead here and I'm going to take my victory lap. Because I was the champion of this little competition that we've got going on here. But first, our slate starts on Thursday. We have Thursday night at 6 p.m. kick, Big Ten Network. We have Rutgers and Howard. There is currently no line for this game, but I don't care. We're picking it anyway. Rutgers to the moon. I don't care what the line is.
Howard is really bad at football. Rutgers should be better than they normally are. Maybe we'll pick this if the spread comes out, which it will come out later in the week, we'll pick it. But as of right now, I would probably pick Rutgers to cover whatever this is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to pick Rutgers to win the game. But as soon as a line comes out, we will get this. We'll have it posted on the socials because Alex is so good at that kind of stuff. So before the games kick off, we will have them posted on socials, hopefully.
Yeah. That is a tentative Big Ten super lock for the boys.
Big
kickoff.
Big banter super lock, Corey. You got to know the name of the show.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'm saying the conference that we root for and cover. Anyway, who cares? 2 hours later on Fox, we have Minnesota at home against North Carolina, where the spread is currently UNC -2. What say you, Ethan?
Oh, this spread has been anywhere from Minnesota -2.5 to UNC -2.5. Oh, I really wish we were picking it when it was Minnesota -2.5, because I would have felt so much better picking UNC. This game is in Minnesota, correct?
It is in Minnesota.
That just feels like a little bit too big of a swing for me. UNC having to travel to Minnesota and being favored by 2.5, that just feels like an overcorrection. I don't love it, but I'm going to take Minnesota to cover in this spot. Not because I think Minnesota's good, but because I don't think UNC is good. And having to travel on the road to another conference is tough. So I'm going to take Minnesota.
The spread is -2, not 2.5. So does that change your pick?
It does not.
Okay. Ethan, our first piggyback, just because of what UNC lost, Drake May. And it's so hard to pick these like middle of the road non-conference games because you literally have no clue what these teams got in store. PJ Flex hot seat is scalding. We're talking furnace in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he's going to have to do something, and the easiest way to do that is to cover the spread. I'll pick Minnesota, and I want to die.
Boys, this is officially the first big banter super lock of the season.
I hate it. I hate it so much. So I want to switch my pick.
So gross.
I hate it.
It's, nope. It's disgusting. But honestly, I was going to take North Carolina +2. I feel like I was just going to take the team getting points in this game. And Minnesota does have Darius Taylor. He really burst onto the scene last year at running back. And like you said, North Carolina was bad with a top 5 pick at quarterback in the NFL draft. So I can't imagine what they do without it. Mac Brown has not been able to get together a defense. PJ Fleck has at least shown some ability to have some defensive stars back there. So I'm going to take Minnesota +2 in the most disgusting super lock to start the season. This is Big Ten football. This is Big Ten football.
Oh, it's so gross. I love it. We are back, baby. All right. Kicking out and rounding out the nightcap, 9 o'clock kick on Big Ten Network. We have Eastern Illinois traveling to Illinois, where the spread is -28. For Illinois. Alex, give us your pick.
Just too many points. Just too many points. A team like Illinois, I don't think their scheme isn't set up for them to beat a team by that much, even in Eastern Illinois. So I'm going to take Eastern Illinois +28.
Ethan?
Eastern Illinois' roster is so bad. Because I had kind of taken a peek at this and was like, why is it so many points? Then I looked at Eastern Illinois' roster, and they don't have players. Ugh, it's so disgusting, and it's so many points. Just give me Illinois minus the points and throw me off a bridge.
You guys know I'm the biggest Illinois hater this side of the Mississippi, but I'm going to have to take off my biased glass, my rose-colored glasses. Is that what it is? Is that the saying?
Yeah,
who cares?
Correct.
They make me so mad anyway. It would just be unwise for my hatred to supersede this pick. I didn't even know Eastern Illinois had a football team. So for that reason, I'm taking Illinois minus 28.
And for that reason, I'm out.
All right. I forgot that I was doing the picks. Okay, we get to go to Friday. And then Friday's Big Ten opener darling. Seems like for the past 3 years, Michigan State has opened. But on the Big Ten Network, FAU travels to Michigan State where the spread is minus 14. Ethan, what say you?
That number has ballooned. It started at 11.5, I believe. It was MSU minus 11.5. So adding 3 extra points onto there makes me feel a little bit better. MSU has to show me that they can gel. MSU has to show me that they are a functioning football team. A lot of new coming in, a lot of good coming in. But a lot of new. So because of that, and the fact that this line opened at 11.5 and has moved all the way out to 14, something tells me jump on the other side of that. So I'm going to take FAU plus the points.
Alex.
Yeah, same as Ethan. I'm FAU plus the points. Jonathan Smith is a really good coach. Aiden Chiles is probably going to be a really good quarterback. But again, I think the Chiles hype is getting to people in taking minus 11.5 and whatever it's been, and minus 14. But again, you got to see it from Chiles, right? Hyped recruit, but you got to see it. And Tom Herman is the coach at FAU. He knows how to coach football. So give me FAU plus 14.
Can I take my first push? Is that allowed?
We don't allow pushes, Corey. No pushes. Fine.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you take a push and it's anything other than a 14-point win, you lose.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Guys, I'm turning over a new leaf, all right? I can see Michigan State winning this game by 17. I'll take Michigan State. I don't care what the people say. I'm a nice guy at the end of the day, and I'm not going to let my hatred cloud my judgment.
The fact that Corey's picking Illinois to cover and MSU to cover the first week of the season makes me wonder if he's been taken over by an alien.
We'll see. Gotta keep you guys on your toes, baby. All right, let's keep this going.
I don't like the way you said toes.
Well, figure it out. Put your dogs away. FS1 kickoff at 9 p.m. on Friday night. We have Wisconsin hosting PJ Fleck's former team, the Western Michigan Broncos, where the spread is minus 23 for Wisconsin. I guess I got to go first. I don't want to take all Big Ten teams, but I don't really. It's too early to get on the Maction hype. I hate this line. It's a weird number. Weird number. Western Michigan plus the points.
I disagree. I don't disagree in the fact that it's a weird number. I do think it's a weird number. I think it needs to be higher. I think it needs to be closer to 30. I think Wisconsin absolutely blows the doors off of a bad Broncos team. I am going to go ahead and take Wisconsin and punt the points.
Second year of the Dairy Raid. Phil Longo's going to want to get that thing into high gear. Give me Wisconsin minus 23.
All right, boys, Friday's over. We're here to Saturday. Should I go in
order? Sounds like we're leaving good old Corey on a lot of islands over there.
Yep, it's going to be bad. Bad news for me. Okay, we're going to go in order because my favorite teams are there. We have our very first 11 p.m. Big Ten kick ever, fellas, but we're not starting with that. Start to the bigger game first. Penn State travels to West Virginia at noon on Fox, the big noon kickoff, I believe, where Penn State is an 8-point favorite. Alex, what say you?
This is very difficult. You just don't know what you're going to see from Penn State's offense. You don't know what you're going to see from their defense. I think it helps that it's a road game at noon, though, and not a night game. You said it's 8 or 8.5?
8.
You know what? Give me Penn State. They beat the bad teams and the mediocre teams early. Give me Penn State.
This is my super lock of the week. And I just don't see Penn State going on the road to West Virginia week one of the season and beating them by multiple scores. I think this is going to be a close game all the way down into the fourth quarter. I think there's a very good chance West Virginia wins this game outright. If you made me pick a winner, I would pick Penn State to win. But if you're giving me 8 points with West Virginia here, that is my super lock of the week. West Virginia plus the points.
I feel like Morgantown's going to be pretty hyped for this matchup. And then, like, I don't know. They got blown out of the water at Penn State last year, but that was a night game, if I remember correctly. That was pretty early on in the year. This will be an exciting game. I think it'll be close. Penn State by 7 or 3. So I'm riding with Ethan. But we keep going. Next, 12 o'clock, Big Ten Network. Illinois State travels to Iowa, where the spread is 22.5 points, and the total is 40.5. Will we see the same Iowa offense? That is yet to be said. I'll start with this one. Is it a trap knowing how bad McNamara has been at offense?
I don't know, but we have to make these picks faster than this.
Sorry. Illinois State.
I'm taking Illinois State until Iowa proves that they can move the ball down the field.
What's the spread? 20.5?
22.5.
22.5. I think Iowa's defense is still going to be great, and their offense just needs to be marginally better. And I know we've said that for years and years and years, but I'm going to take a shot at Iowa this week.
No Kirk Ferentz in this game. Remember, he's suspended. But you already made your pick, so hop. All right, 12 o'clock, FS1. UConn travels to Maryland, where the spread is 20.5 points. I'll go with this. People are sleeping on Maryland's quarterback. What's his name? Billy Edwards Jr. I think he's going to be a lot better than most people think. I'm going to say Maryland covers this spread. They're going to win by 21.
UConn is an absolutely horrendous, horrendous football program. I cannot pick them to lose by less than three touchdowns in this game. Give me Maryland.
I'm sorry. I'm typing stuff as we're doing this. What's the spread?
The spread is 20.5.
Okay, give me Maryland.
Easy peasy. Big banter, super lock. Next game, 12 o'clock, Big Ten Network. Purdue plays Indiana State at home. We have no spread for this game. Boiler up.
Just keep moving.
Keep moving. Okay. Saturday, 3:30 kick. Akron travels to Ohio State. Ohio State is favored by 48.5 points, with the total being at 58.5.
This number opened. Alex. Oh, I was going to say this number opened at 51.5.
I'm going to take Ohio State here. I think Chip Kelly is going to ramp up that run game, and then they're going to show off Jeremiah Smith and their core of receivers. I'm going to take Ohio State minus 48.5.
I think you just said it right there. The reason that this spread has moved down, I think Ohio State is going to lean on the run game. And yeah, they'll have some explosive plays, but they're not going to be slinging it all over the field. Give me Akron to cover.
Whoa. Okay. Well, this seems like a lame super lock, but I'm going to do Ohio State. Ohio State just spent the entire year watching their rival parade around with the national championship trophy, and they loaded up. I think they're going to try to make a statement, and they're going to run up the score on these poor Akron Zips. Give me Ohio State.
It's not a super lock. I took Akron.
Oh, well, I'm taking it as my super lock.
Oh, it's your super lock. Oh, whoa, on such a big spread. All right, Corey.
Ohio State is going to be mad going into that game. So, sorry, guys. All right, keep going. Indiana opens the season at FIU. The spread is 22. Ethan, what say you?
Trusting Indiana with a brand new head coach to go into opposing territory,
No, it's at FIU is at home, or FIU is on the road. Excuse me.
Oh, you said it was at. Oh, okay. Still a lot of points. You know what? That makes it feel like a trap. I'm going to take Indiana.
I'll take Indiana as well. Won't think about it too much.
Yep, I think Kurt Cignetti is legit. I'll take Indiana. Super lock. Big banter.
Let's go. Everybody's favorite sleeper team at 3:30 on Fox. Nebraska is hosting UTEP, where the spread is 27.5. Alex, what say you?
That spread is just too much for me. Nebraska's got a really good defense, but we got to see it from Dylan Raiola and the rest of the offense. So give me UTEP, but I think Nebraska comes very close to covering.
I don't know anything about UTEP, so I'm taking Nebraska.
UTEP actually has some decent players, and I think you're right. They've got to iron out some kinks with a lot of brand new people in Nebraska. Give me UTEP to cover, but Nebraska still wins handily.
All right, next game, 3:30, Big Ten Network. Northwestern hosts Miami of Ohio, where the spread is -2.5. Wow. Alex, this is your team. I know you just went back-to-back, but what do you think about the Wildcats?
Northwestern's favored, right?
-2.5.
Okay, I feel like that's a legitimate question to ask. I'll take Northwestern to win by a field goal. They're at home.
This scares the bejeebers out of me, the fact that this line is so small. I'd be more comfortable if it was Northwestern -8.5. The fact that the number is this small makes me really think I should be taking Miami. I'm going to trust Northwestern and what they had last year, that they can continue it into this year. Give me Northwestern minus points.
I don't care what that line tells you, but that coach made us all believe in the Wildcats again. So I think they win this game by at least a touchdown. Sorry, I accidentally muted myself. I'll edit that out. All right, 7:30 kick, Big Ten Network. Oregon hosts Idaho. There's no line for that, so we will skip. My favorite game here, 7:30 kick, UCLA travels to Hawaii, where the spread is -14. I'll go because this is my dynasty team. I don't think UCLA is good at all. I think there might be a chance that they lose this game outright. Give me Hawaii to cover. Sprinkle half of that on their money line, baby.
Not for the same reason that Corey just said, but I'm also going to take Hawaii to cover here. Going on the road to Hawaii, it never bodes well for teams. It is a little bit closer going from the West Coast, but it's still lots of hours. It doesn't bode well for you blowing a team out.
Give me Hawaii. Hawaii has already played a game, so they're already loosened up and ready to go. UCLA, I think they might be the worst team in the Big Ten this year. Their coach basically froze at the Media Day press conference and had to remind everyone that UCLA was in LA. So give me Hawaii +14. Another big banter super lock.
All right, your NBC Big Ten game of the week. You have the defending national champions, in case anybody forgot, Michigan hosting Fresno State, and the line is currently Michigan at -21. Ethan, what say you?
-21 with a new starting quarterback, whoever that's going to be. I don't think we know for sure yet, although I do assume it'll be Alex Orji. Just feels like a game where you're kind of due for a bit of a letdown. Don't let it be too big of a letdown, but I'm going to take the points here. I think Michigan falls short of that 21.
I agree with you. I'll be there live. And I think that, yes, Orji, whoever the quarterback is going to be, yeah, you're going to have to work out some kinks. I just said exactly what you just said, Ethan. But I think they'll also do like a little bit of like throwing multiple quarterbacks in the mix in this game when it's comfortable. And I think it'll be like a backdoor cover situation for Fresno State, I feel. So give me Fresno to cover the spread.
I'm really on the fence about this one because I believe wholeheartedly that Michigan's defense is going to be a top five unit in the country. And I think that can single-handedly cover this spread or help them cover the spread if Fresno were to only score like 10 or something. Ah, give me Michigan. I don't love it, though.
Ooh, we love it. All right, fellas, for the last game of the Big Ten slate, 11 p.m. kick. Get used to it with all these West Coast teams. Washington hosts Weber or Weber State. I was never sure how it's pronounced. Washington, minus 27.5. Alex, what say you?
Apparently, Washington has Will Howard and not Washington State. I believed the opposite.
Will Rogers. Will Howard plays for Ohio State.
Gosh dang it. Okay. Frick. All right. Will Rogers. Thank you, Corey, for keeping me educated. Weber State.
Ethan.
Washington.
Alex, we're putting you on an island. Washington is going to cover this game. All right. I lied for the last game of the Big Ten slate, but we have our...
You did lie. This is a freaking sick Sunday game.
This is a sick Sunday game because we're rounding it out. Or should I do the other games, or should I finish with Big Ten? Anyway, we're running out of time, so I'm going to just do the Sunday game for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Modelo Vegas Kickoff Classic. We have USC versus LSU in a neutral site game, but it'll probably be more of a home game for USC. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, LSU is minus 4. Ethan, share your thoughts, and what say you?
My thoughts are LSU being slightly overvalued. USC, it is going to be a little bit more of a home game for them. Being slightly undervalued. I don't think I'm going to touch this game. I'm going to watch it for sure. I don't think I would touch it. I'm going to take USC plus the points. Ugh.
Oh, I don't think USC is going to win this game at all. And I don't think it's going to be necessarily close. I think LSU wins by at least a touchdown. LSU is going to try to run the ball. And if Lincoln Riley doesn't figure out how to play defense fast, it's going to be a tough Big Ten season for him. I think LSU wins this game by 7 or more.
I'm going to take USC because I think people, including myself, are hating on Lincoln Riley for the defense last year, and rightfully so. But people are forgetting that LSU was basically just as bad. So they both have they're both very similar teams, actually. They're replacing Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, really bad defenses. I think because they're so similar, I'm going to take the team that's probably going to get a bit of a home advantage, and I'm going to take the points. So I'm going to get USC plus 4.
All right, gentlemen, for a few other games on the slate, we'll do it quick. The big one, number one ranked team in the country, Georgia, plays Clemson in an ACC SEC challenge on Saturday at noon kick. ABC, the line is 13.5 for Georgia. I'll take this one first. Georgia wins it 14. No more thoughts.
This is at Georgia.
It's like the Aflac kickoff, and usually that's in like, oh, I think that's usually in the Superdome or something like that. So that's going to be like a home game for Georgia.
I know what Georgia is. I don't know what Clemson is yet. Oh my goodness gracious! It kind of feels like they're begging you to take, you know what, Georgia, give them to me.
Alex.
This is a tough one. I'm struggling too, Ethan. You don't know what Clemson is. Georgia's got all the hype. I think Clemson's probably just relying on one too many young guys to step up. So I'm going to take Georgia in a very close cover. That's a Big Banter super lock too, unfortunately. So Clemson's going to cover everybody.
Yep. Naturally, that's how this goes. Okay, next game, second to last, another SEC-ACC crossover and could be the most important game for both of these teams on the schedule. Florida hosts Miami, where the spread is minus 2.5 in favor of Miami. Alex, take the lead. What you got?
If this spread was even a little bit higher, I would take Florida easily. But they made this close, and it makes the pick a little bit more difficult on me, but I am going to take the favorite here. I'm going to do Miami -2.5.
Florida wins this game outright. This spread makes absolutely no sense. You're going to the swamp. It's a night game, correct?
It is a 3:30 kick.
Okay. So the second half of the game will be a night game. This is a trap game for Miami. The swamp is going to be bouncing off the walls. I'm going to take Florida plus the points, but I think they win the game outright.
I'm going to take Florida as well, solely out of desperation. Florida's over-under for their wins is the lowest it's been in, like, decades. It's 4.5. This is a game they have to win against an in-state rival, and you get the courtesy of having it at home. I agree with you, Ethan. Florida's going to cover. They might even win the game outright. Last but not least, fellas, we've come to the end, and we have a big one. Notre Dame travels to College Station at Texas A&M, where the line currently stands at Texas A&M -3. Ethan, you've been talking about this game since the dawn of time. What you got?
Texas A&M covers. They win by more than a touchdown. Go Aggies.
Alex.
I've got Notre Dame. I think it's going to be a close game. I haven't really decided who I think is going to win, but I think Notre Dame will cover.
Alex, I'm siding with you. I think this is as close to a must-win for Notre Dame as it gets. And I think, how many of these games have they played at the beginning of the year and they've lost? I think they turn the corner finally and they win their first big game. And Notre Dame is going to be the talk of the town to get this thing done. Too much for Mike Elko in his first year at A&M. Freeman has a little bit of the experience. I think Notre Dame wins. And that is your week one slate, gentlemen.
Oh boy, it's a big one. There's a lot of meat on the bone, so prepare to sit on your couches from Thursday evening until Sunday evening. Warn your wives, your girlfriends, whoever is around you and in a close vicinity that they won't see you for a while. Don't fill out a missing persons report. I'll just be on my couch watching college football all weekend. I'm pumped. This is going to be great. You will hear from us twice a week, probably, starting next week, but for sure, at least once a week. Thank you for listening. You guys are the freaking best. We are so pumped for this season. Stick with us the whole season. We're going to give you Big Ten top to bottom, and we'll touch on other stuff too as we get closer to the college football playoff. Remember, on Twitter, B1G Banter Pod, on Instagram, B1G Banter. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.